So hear the word of God as we read through this. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Amorites and besieged Rabbah, and David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I'm pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent to him after that. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to the house. The story actually says that King David tried to do that again by getting him drunk. He did the same thing, slept in watch of King David and with his men. So in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah out in the front where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so that he will be struck down and die." Uriah the Hittite died. The Lord sent Nathan to David, and Nathan shared this story. It was a story about a rich man and a poor man. The poor man had one little lamb and loved that lamb. It slept with them, it ate with them, it was like his own daughter. And then the rich man wanted to have a sheep and took that little lamb to have and prepared a meal. And when Nathan told the story to David, continuing on, David cursed the rich man in the story. And then Nathan said to David, "You are that man." David and Bathsheba's first baby died, but their son Solomon grew up to be the king. David spent the rest of his life preparing to build the temple of God. The people gave freely and wholeheartedly to the work. Near the end of his life, David gave this speech. "Then King David said, 'My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today?' The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David, the king, also rejoiced greatly." And then David said, "Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, they prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. My notes for today say, don't preach. Just read pages 172 and 173. After the psalm, it starts, "But who am I, and who are you, my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." I could keep reading. It's good. "We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all of our ancestors. These lines are found not only on page 172 and 173 of the story, and there's an extra copy in the back if you'd like to have one, but they're also found in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14. They're recorded as David's words as he's giving thanks for the people that so generously contributed to the building of a temple for the Lord. They're words full of gratitude, but they are also so full of a humble awareness and understanding of the brevity of not only our own lives, but of the resources with which we live it. I was struck when reading those words. One time reading them at my kitchen table with my kiddos near, and again another time at my desk in the basement of this building, surrounded by the excitement of this week. My heart was and is full. They're the words of a holy and broken alleluia, as author Leonard Cohen put it. That summarizes and harmonizes with this reading for this week of King David, one who overstepped power, who had intentional permanent removal of a barrier. Yeah, he didn't like it, so he changed it in a very permanent way. King David, a man whose desires to hide his indiscretions didn't work. A man who continued to work to make something pleasing for God. I'm reminded of both and. He's not just one kind of person. He doesn't have just an either or type of life. But he had a life that has statements that are both true of him, that he is a sinner in need of redemption, and he has a desire to love and serve God. What a difficult message to hear and speak on this day, in this time, a time when people's choices have such an effect on others. When what one does in private becomes the mainstream news story. When the actions that we do in the world are almost always recorded or monitored or documented or reviewed by a watching eye or camera. What a challenge it is to look at this man who we have raised up as this young shepherd boy, a harpist whose heart is devoted to God, the one true God. David, the one that's credited with killing Goliath with just 5 stones and a sling, a hero's story. A man who conquered Jerusalem, who brings the Ark of the Covenant to the city and then pours out his heart to build a place to put it. David, who from our readings appears to not only have been loved by God, but was one of the few who got to speak with God. How very, very special of a person he must be. And yet in the night, his desires, some would say his desires of his flesh, took over his mind, and he sends for a woman, and he sees in the distance, and, well, you know the rest of that story. And then, as we heard, God sent Nathan. God sent Nathan to David. And David was appalled by the behavior of the man in Nathan's story. And then he learns that the one that was so appalling was he. He was appalled by his own behavior. And we get to see some very human, relatable events and reactions from David and from his household. David recognizes his mistake, and he asked for God's forgiveness. Like in the psalm that the choir sang, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Have mercy on me," David said to God. Nathan affirms for him that he has been forgiven. Yet David still had to face the consequences. And as the story goes, their first son, as a child, died. David was so full of pain for what he had done. He repented in a way that was customary, and he mourned, and he went to pray. And after he went to pray in the temple, then he went and comforted his wife. And he again welcomes the favor of the Lord, the forgiveness, the rebirth of not only his connection with the divine, but with his wife. And they welcome the blessing of another son. We can read in the words this, this resonating sound that resonates with some of our own hearts. And yet later, David learns of another of his children that's killed, and he says, "Oh, my son, if only I had died instead of you." Words that I know some of you have said. And yet David gathered the people and they praised God. David gathered the people and they praised God. Not that day, not even the next day probably, and not for a time. But he kept his focus on being devoted to following God. I appreciate that the authors of this book have integrated within our reading the Psalms that match. It was good for my heart to hear the poetic laments and the familiar words being mixed in, placed in the times when they could have been written, the very breath of life for me, was seeing David and hearing his words. I can see King David sitting there probably with a scribe, maybe not at his own hand, but maybe. I see him just like I kind of see you sitting at your kitchen table or wherever it is that's your special spot with your coffee mug in hand and your journal beside you. I can see you pouring out your heart to God in your joy and in your grief, wanting some place to put it. Dear friends, as you know, we're starting this week of Thanksgiving, right? It's not just a day, it's a whole week. Could be a whole month or a whole year. It's a time when many will gather with friends or family, a time for sharing table or words, a time that many will reflect on their life or prepare for what's to come, the whole holiday season. And this Thanksgiving week, I would ask you, what will you choose? Could you follow the humbling lead of one labeled in the Hebrew Times as king? Will you be one who wrestles with God and with those around you about the titles or the choices that people make for themselves or that others give to them? Will you let your soul rise up for what is right? Will you be one who takes responsibility for your actions and works with intention to serve God, to keep God as your focus? Could you follow David's lead or another good leader's lead? To find in all times and all places an opportunity to glorify God and to give thanks. Will you take time to provide for God's people? Now, as you can see, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant to care for here in this place. We don't have a special Bible that we have to come only here to read. We don't have tangible items of the Holy of Holies that we must protect. But what we have is the Word of God made flesh in the humans that surround us. We have hearts that can bow or bend or lay flat out before God, so God has a place to dwell. We have resources that we can share, and we have the Holy Spirit that was given to us, the church, and the fruits of the Spirit that can shape our devotion and our lifestyle. We have much, much to be thankful for. And I think one of the biggest things that we have is the forgiveness that God offers us over and over again. Let's do as David said, be seen with joy. And recognize that the table before us has been prepared in the presence of our enemies and blessed by God and opened up to us by our Savior. Dear friends, this week I pray that you indeed be blessed to be a blessing this day and always. Amen.